could barely see our hands in front of our faces.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out, got them home safely.
That's what we train for, moments like this.
When our communities need us.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college full time. In return, you'll gain career skills and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Take a moment to learn more. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, coming your way Monday to Friday, 3:30 p.m., right here on AM 1220, The Word.
The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220, The Word, or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation, perhaps with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our switchboard's open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would just use the program this evening, that we could be a blessing, that we could be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Father, if there's somebody that's searching, wanting to know truth, we do pray that some of the things that we talk about tonight can point them to the truth of your Word, the Bible, and then that they could also see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he came to this world, lived a perfect, holy life, and without sin, and willingly went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sin as he became the sin sacrifice for us, that if we believe that he died in our place, was buried, and rose again victorious over sin and death, that we too can have the forgiveness of sin and the promise of a home in heaven for all eternity. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, getting on the radio here this evening, I always try to keep tabs a little bit of what's happening over in Israel and the Middle East. And one of the reasons, other than the fact that I want to see what God is doing over there, but also in a sense, it's kind of like somebody's described it as God's timepiece. And if you're wanting to follow and see maybe perhaps how soon it might be that the Lord's coming back for us, I think the events in the Middle East kind of indicate that. Certainly when Israel became a sovereign nation in 1948, that was a big step forward. And then, of course, we see the events that are taking place over there now. Israel has readied some Arrow 2 anti-missile batteries in the northern part of Israel here because they're worried about attacks from Hezbollah out of Lebanon as well as Syria. And at the same time that Israel has set up some of these Arrow 2 missile systems, there's reports that we're actually putting some Patriot systems as well as some F-16 fighter jets in Jordan. And that's there's an annual, what they call the Joint Eager Lion exercise between the United States and Jordan, which is happening. They're getting ready for that. But at the same time, believe me, the military uses exercises frequently to ramp up security, ramp up preparations. And I know from a friend of mine who was still in the Air Force when the September 11 attacks and 2001 took place. The military was worried about attacks taking place at that time frame. They didn't know exactly where and when, and so they were conducting exercises in many of their bases where they were able to ramp up the security and make preparations in case something happened. And I remember when I was in the Air Force stationed in England, there were a couple times that things went on, and they used exercises as an excuse to ramp up the security without alerting people. So we see these things taking place, and pray for the peace of Israel. The Bible says that, and we need to keep our eye on Israel. And certainly many people, not just me, but many commentators, you read a lot of variety of sources, Israeli sources, European sources, even some American sources, worried more and more each day about the outbreak of war in Israel. And of course, we know that there is going to be war in that part of the world. We know that there's going to be war between Israel and Syria, and we understand that there's even going to be a larger war. There's going to be war between Israel and Egypt, and all of these things. You can check out some of that information if you read Isaiah chapter 17, which starts out, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." And the implication is, in the last verse of that chapter, it says that, "Behold, eveningtide trouble, and before the morning he is not." And the implication is that Damascus, which is one of the oldest continually occupied cities in the world, never been destroyed, is going to become a ruinous heap overnight. And Israel possesses the technology to do so. And this is one aspect of the battle. And then, of course, Isaiah chapter 19 starts out talking about the burden of Egypt. And there's some other passages that we can read about that, and talking about how it appears that there's going to be destruction in Egypt. And Ezekiel chapter 29, I think it is, talks about the destruction possibly of the Aswan Dam and the forced migration of Egyptians out of the country where they'll live in outside of Egypt as exiles for 40 years. And that's some things we need to be aware of and be watching. And I think that some of those things will set the stage for the rise of the Antichrist, as well as the Ezekiel 38 battle, where Russia, with its confederation with Iran and other nations that haven't been destroyed in these pre-Ezekiel 38 battles, will come against Israel. And that's another area we could get into tonight, but I just wanted to direct your attention, get you to thinking about that, paying attention to what's going on there in the days and weeks ahead. I mean, that's an area that the American media kind of avoids some of that, and we as believers certainly should be aware of that, and certainly we see biblical prophecies playing out there in the Middle East. It's cause to rejoice and look up as believers, for our redemption draweth nigh. Well, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and I'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Where I was wanting to go next here, actually, is the situation with the Boy Scouts. I wanted to touch on that a little bit here tonight as well. We had a caller recently, I think it was a week or so ago, on our Sunday night program, and we've also touched on this on our Friday afternoon program. We're on here on AM 1220, The Word, every Friday for a half an hour live from 1:30 until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Certainly invite you to tune into that as well, in addition to our Sunday night program. But the discussion about the Boy Scouts and their beginning to embrace and allow open homosexuals within the Boy Scouts and amongst the Scout leaders and things of this nature, and the the Boy Scouts of America have lifted their ban. They voted on, I believe it was May 24th, to lift the ban on openly homosexual young men within the Boy Scouts. And this has put a lot of churches in a difficult situation. Now, I can't claim this thought as original. I heard some other people talking about this a little bit on the radio. I believe it was Jay Sekulow and where I first heard this discussion. And we've talked about it at our church as well. And I know there's a Southern Baptist church down in Arkansas, First Baptist Church of Gravel Ridge in Jacksonville, Arkansas. And you know, they were put into a quandary over this, and they had to end their charter, cut their charter that they had with Boy Scout Troop 542. And you say, well, why would they do this? Now, I don't know all of the details on this story, certainly, and but where it kind of revolves around is the idea that this church has taken a stand. Pastor Tim Reed has said God's word explicitly says homosexuality is a choice of sin. And that's the stand that they've taken. He said to their local CNN affiliate there that it's not a hate thing. It's a moral stance that we must take as a Southern Baptist church. And as an independent Baptist church, I can certainly identify with some of this and the taking the stand on the Word of God. And here's why they were forced to take that stand. This is what a lot of people don't think about. They say, well, what's the big deal? There's certainly been homosexual Boy Scouts that have been there undercover, so to speak, you know, not serving openly, kind of like when the military had the don't ask, don't tell policy in place. And we knew that there were homosexuals serving in the military, but as long as they didn't say anything, nobody made a big deal out of it. And of course, this is all part of an ongoing thing to not just make people accepting of homosexuality, but actually endorsing of it. Toleration on the Riddle scale of homophobia, toleration is still homophobic behavior. You have to actually endorse and be supportive of it. And that's what they're wanting. And they're targeting organizations that historically have taken stands against the sin of homosexuality. And here's the dangerous thing that this puts churches into. And if you think about it, as a church, if your church has taken the position, the biblical position, that homosexuality is sin, and you will not allow open homosexuals to become members of your church or to become staff members of your church or to use your church facilities for a variety of things, such as up to and including same-sex weddings, and you've taken this stance that you do not allow open practicing homosexuals to use your facilities or to be involved, and somebody comes in and says, well, you know, we want to use your church for a same-sex marriage, and you point to your policy. You say, you know, our church takes a stand against homosexuality. We do not allow open homosexuals to become members. We do not allow open homosexuals to become staff members. We do not use our facilities for events or organizations that that endorse homosexuality. And they say, oh, but you have a Boy Scout troop meeting in your church, don't you? And guess what? It looks like you probably lost your position because I would imagine if they take that to court, I'm not a lawyer, but I could just imagine if they take that to court, and I'm sure they will, and they say, this person discriminated against us. This pastor discriminated against us. This church discriminated against us because they claim that they do not allow homosexuals to use their facilities or take part in be a part of their events and activities. And yet, after telling us that we couldn't use their facilities, we found that they have a Boy Scout troop meeting there, and the Boy Scouts of America allow open homosexuality now in the Boy Scouts. So they've singled us out because they let the Boy Scouts in. Why don't they let us in? Can you begin to see why perhaps that Pastor Tim Reed of the First Baptist Church of Gravel Ridge in Jacksonville, Arkansas, was and the church there was forced to cut its charter with Boy Scout Troop 542 because you know it put that church in a bad situation. And you know the Boy Scouts did this really in capitulation to years of pressure, years of attack, years of vilification, and they finally gave in. And that's basically what they did. They gave in. And you can see where this is going to cause problems, future problems for many churches across the country that sponsor Boy Scout troops, Cub Scout troops, things of that nature. And so we need to pray. People are going to have to make moral choices out there. And this is something that Christians need to know what they believe and why they believe it. And of course, that's one of the reasons for our programs. We don't want you just to accept something because we say it, because I say it. We want you to believe it because the Bible says it. And we want you to understand the Bible makes sense. And if you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, our phone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. It's a toll-free call. We'd love to hear from you tonight and here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I want to mention another thing talking about that. You know, the question comes up periodically. If homosexuality is a biological thing, and personally, I believe that there may be some people who may be predisposed that way, but I don't think that homosexuality itself is biological. And when I say predisposed, we all knew growing up that there were some boys who were a little more effeminate, some girls who were a little more masculine in their actions. We called the girls tomboys and things like that. But we all knew that. And what happens is a lot of times these kids are targeted as they grow up. And they're targeted by the homosexual community. And for instance, the boys will be explained to them, well, the reason that you're this way, the reason you feel this way is because you're different than the other boys. And the girls will be told the same thing. But here's the problem. Whether or not it's a biological thing, whether or not people are born that way, that does not in any way do away with the fact that the Bible says that it is sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, and I'm using the New Testament examples in particular because Romans chapter 1 addresses both the male and female same-sex attractions, where it talks in Romans chapter 1, verse number 24, where the Bible says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator," or I'm sorry, the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And he says in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." I heard somebody say, well, the Bible only condemns male homosexuality, not women, female. And well, right there it is. The women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And then verse 27, "Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one to another, toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet." And so God refers to this as vile affections and unnatural actions, unseemly, and it's inside of a list, a longer list of a variety of sins and things that God calls abomination. Now, let's just say for the sake of argument that it is biological, that you're born that way. And this is what I've said in the past. It doesn't matter. The Bible still condemns it. Let me ask you this. How many people out there lie? And people say, well, if I'm a born liar, but that doesn't give me an excuse to lie. Let's take it one step further. I use this, I think one time on the radio, I mentioned previously that I went to school with the notorious serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, and sat next to him in homeroom all through high school. And I remember talking with one of the police detectives in Bath, Ohio, who interviewed Jeff there in Milwaukee, because Jeff killed his first victim that we know about in Bath, Ohio, right after we graduated from Revere High School in 1978. And Jeff told this detective that if he was let out of jail, he would kill again because he couldn't help himself. That was the way he was. And I said this on the radio one time. I said, so we should have let Jeffrey Dahmer out of prison and said, well, go ahead, Jeff, go and kill people because, you know, you were born that way. That's the way you're made. That's your biological predilection. That's the way you're made. And so, therefore, we can't say that what you're doing is wrong. You say, well, that's an extreme case. That's ridiculous. No, it's no different than saying, well, I was born homosexual, therefore God should give me a pass on it. No, it doesn't matter. Let me take it one step further. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, every one of us listening has a sin nature. You were born with a sin nature. I was born with a sin nature. And you can't reject Christ. You can't not get saved and then die and stand before God and say, well, Lord, you have to excuse my sin. Because, you know, I had a sin nature. I was born that way. So you should let me into heaven. No, we need a sin nature because though we were born, or I'm sorry, we need a Savior because though we were born with a sin nature, though that's the way we are, we sin, we become, we sin because we are a sinner. We don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we already are sinners. We have a sin nature that we were born with. And God doesn't excuse the fact that we were born with sin and then say, well, you know, I'll just overlook your sin because you can't help it. You were born that way. So why is the sin of homosexuality any different? Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Ronald in Middleburg Heights calling in. And Ronald, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about the Boy Scouts policy on the gays. As a fellow scout leader for many, many years, I've gone to the summer camps where all of the troops would go for summer camps, and you prepare all week for the skit, for the campfire
right. Presentation
at the end of the week. Every troop sort of does their own, and those churches that do not affirm homosexuality, Boy Scouts were actually thinking about maybe letting those churches continue not having gays in their organization, but I don't know if they went through with that policy or not. But regardless, your church, Boy Scout troop, goes to that camp.
Right.
At the end of the week, you're going to be watching homosexual skits, two boys climbing or giving a big kiss or whatever it be, and it can get rather intense. You're going to have to sit there and listen to that and clap.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. If you're not supportive, well, you're a homophobic. You're a homophobe. And you've got to be educated. And now that the Boy Scouts have capitulated on this issue, you can just see that they're going to probably, in short order, go beyond tolerating to endorsing. And I think you're exactly right.
The other thing is we haven't received. I just got my letter to renew my merit badge counseling, and I haven't received responses to my questions as to how the dignity of the boys are going to be protected in these private settings where, what are you going to do, ask the Boy Scout whether he's gay? You're going to take a roster or keep it? How are you going to know how to sleep and have your buddy systems?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, we talked about this issue before, and the idea, you wouldn't take a 15-year-old boy and, you know, put him in the same tent with a 15-year-old girl. You know, if they were both heterosexual, because you would say, well, you know, that's not proper. We don't want that boy taking advantage of the girl or the other way around. So what makes it different than if you take a 15-year-old homosexual boy and put him in the tent with a 15-year-old boy?
Yeah, especially if they're biologically have to have attraction.
Mm-hmm.
If they're biological,
that's my point.
Right. And if it's not biological, then it's will. And if it's will, they can suppress that or
exactly.
or come in accordance with God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a difficult decision. And the Boy Scouts National is being very quiet about how that policy is going to work. I haven't seen or heard anything regarding how camps are going to work.
Yeah, and, you know, I just, will the Boy Scouts continue in one way, shape, or another? I'm sure they will, but it's really put a lot of people in a difficult position.
And don't forget the reason why they had to succumb to that was because they're being kicked out of schools. It's the school policies forcing Scouts to accept their policies. And now, isn't it true that in these schools that you could be or an organization and do Christian prayer after school, that they do allow religious beliefs
well,
to be practiced, like you could have request a room? Or, and if that's true, then why not allow the Boy Scouts to recruit or make a presentation, just like they normally did, even though the school policies are different, they will respect your rights as an organization to go ahead and, you know, operate as you wish. Same thing with maybe Islam or anybody else that would like to speak or ask the boys for their attention. Would they exclude any of these groups?
Well, there's been a long-standing attempt to get Christian groups kicked out of schools completely. In fact, we know back in the early '60s that they got rid of Bible reading and prayer in the public schools. And so what was it, 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that schools couldn't require students to read the Bible. And though they did allow for objective teaching, but this is something that's been fought. And a lot of schools will just simply not allow Christian, in particularly conservative Christian groups, to be vocal within the schools or to be able to be very visible. And a lot of public universities, when you take it beyond the school level, you know, just because it's an attempt to get God out of the schools. And I think Boy Scouts are targeted that way, too. We're coming up on our bottom of the hour break there. And I do want to thank you, Ronald, for that call. If you've got some more on that, I can hold you over. All right. Well, we've got another half hour.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be on the air here at AM 1220, The Word, until midnight tonight. And our telephone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We're brought to you tonight by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in the center of North Royalton. That's Route 82. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And if you're interested in any kind of old jewelry, collectibles of all sorts, military memorabilia, old coins, old stamps, cards, pottery, including the kitchen sink, you can probably find even some furniture and things of that nature. And let me suggest, if you're in the market for an engagement ring or a wedding ring, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Let them know you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, we're brought to you by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road across from the high school. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about it right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's pickup or delivery, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and ask how you can get started in the pizza business yourself. He'd love to help you out there. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. And while I was talking, the phone lines lit up a bit here, and we can get you in, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've been talking about a variety of things, the situation in the Middle East, the Boy Scouts' recent acceptance of open homosexual scouts, and then kind of looking at some of the issues that that's brought up. And I believe we have Doug on hold first up here. And Doug, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
How's it going?
Hi, good. How are you doing tonight?
It's been a little while.
Yeah. Good to talk to you. Recognize the voice now.
Right. You know, in talking about this, you know, homosexuality, and, you know, thank God that's not something that I struggle with. My heart goes out to those who do. But if we're born with this sin nature, why is that, you know, not another expression of it, just like, you know, some of us, you know, they want to get into the whole debate over whether something like, you know, a struggle that's been closer to my heart, which is alcoholism, and they found a gene, or that it's a disease, or no, it's versus, if we're all born, you know, with a sin nature, any of these, we all have something, we all have a, you know, a sin cross
right.
to bear, or some
exactly.
area of fallenness, and, you know, for them, same gender attraction, could that just be, that's just another expression of that, like a person who can't enjoy an alcohol beverage without losing control, or whatever the case may be, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think you're making a very good point there. Everybody's going to struggle with some areas, and you're absolutely right. There are people who will pick up a beer, and they'll drink that, and they might drink a beer every night, and they don't become alcoholics, and another person does. There's somebody that pick up a cigarette, smoke the cigarette, they don't become addicted to tobacco, and somebody does. Other people do. And there's certain things that every one of us will be more prone to than others, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's promiscuousness as a heterosexual, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's money, theft,
gambling,
lying,
yeah, anything.
Gambling, any kind of sinful activity that we might be prone to. And that's just, you're exactly right. This is just one type of sin, and yet we're being told constantly that we have to accept it and endorse it. Otherwise, there's something wrong with us. And the fact of the matter is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world, because all of us have our sinful behaviors that we're prone to and that we need help dealing with. And the only real help that we're going to get, really ultimately, is that which comes through Christ, because the Bible talks about that's what we used to be when we come to Christ. You know, we embrace Christ as our Savior, and He deals with those sinful behaviors, and He helps us overcome them. And does that mean that every person that gets saved is going to automatically overcome every sin that they're struggling with? No, some people struggle for a long time. And other people, it just seems like at the drop of a hat, you know, the sin is dealt with and they have the victory over it. But chances are they're going to have some other area that they're going to struggle in. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 in verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And that's because the devil gets strongholds in our life in these various sinful behaviors where he can afflict us, get a hold in our life, because ultimately he wants to destroy our life and he wants to prevent us from being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is a good passage here, ties in with what I'm saying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, starting verse 18, "Flee fornication." I'm sorry, that's not the right passage. I'm looking too far down in the list there. Let me go back up. Certainly flee fornication. Here it is. Verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers." And see, this is quite a gamut here. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's how our sin nature manifests itself in those various types of behaviors and characteristics. But we come to Christ, and Paul is able to write, "And such were some of you," in verse 11, "but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And so, though we are guilty of these sins, fornication, idolatry, adultery, effeminate, abusers of ourselves with mankind, thieves, coveters, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, and this is just a partial listing here, God says that He washes us of that sin. He sets us apart by sanctifying us, and He justifies us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens when we trust Christ as our Savior. We may still struggle with those sins, but we now have somebody helping us, and that's God in the person of the Holy Spirit in us, helping us if we'll let Him.
And in the case of the believer, you know, you can we can still fall into those sins, but those things shouldn't be the normal course of our life anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we may be tempted in those areas. The homosexual who gets saved may still be tempted in those areas, but if he'll trust God, though it may be a struggle from time to time, he will get the victory over that. And eventually we'll be delivered, as Paul talked about, this body of death. You know, who will deliver me from this body of death? We'll be delivered from it in the day that either through death's doorway or through the rapture, when we're caught up to be with the Lord in heaven, we'll set aside this flesh with its sin nature. And one day the Bible says God's going to give us a new body that has no sin nature. And then the homosexual will no longer struggle with the sin of homosexuality. The alcoholic will no longer struggle with the sin of alcohol or drunkenness. The idolater will no longer struggle with the sin of idolatry, and all through that list, because the sin nature will be gone. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, just imagine what it's going to be like to be able to serve God and no sin nature. That's
okay, just
wanted
to throw that one out there.
All right, appreciate that,
okay,
Doug.
Okay, see you.
Welcome, thank you very much, and glad you called us. Well, we've got a number of callers coming in, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. We have Ken next, and Ken, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, Brother Al.
Hi, welcome. Good to see you tonight, or hear from you tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to talk on the Boy Scout issue. I was involved a lot with the Boy Scout leadership. We took things. They had some really wonderful programs with the Cleveland City Schools for in-school scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful opportunities. We knew there were problems with syncretism, where with the Boy Scouts you could get your Muslim award or your Buddhist award or your Mormon award, but they would leave it up to each troop. And so with our troop, we kept it on Christ-centered and good directions, and it was wonderful things for the boys. I won some awards from the Boy Scouts from being involved with these things and helping out the boys in these areas. But I'm thinking about taking those awards and just prayerfully burning them in a campfire.
Well, I mean, you do what God leads you to do, but I can understand what you're saying when you think about what you were able to do in the past and an organization that you spent time and energy with, and now what they're doing. It's just, you can see where people would be upset with that.
Yeah, they left it up to the individual troop, and so you didn't have to go along with the syncretism.
Yeah.
But we knew there were problems in that area already.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the Boy Scouts is a secular group fundamentally, one of the things I know that's probably pushed them with this recognition of homosexual scouts now is the loss of funding from the United Way, because that's just one area. And then, of course, as a previous caller pointed out, the denial of the use of school facilities and opportunities.
Yeah, love of money is the root of all evil.
Exactly. Huh? But, they're going to lose money from a lot of churches and a lot of other organizations.
Well, the reason I'm thinking about taking the awards and burning them in a campfire, prayerfully doing that is, in the Bible, sodomy is expressed as a very grievous sin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
an
first time the word God uses the word abomination.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, it was death penalty.
Well, that's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where we get the term sodomy and also the term for the STD, gonorrhea. And when you think about it, you've got these New Age Bible versions out there that try to say that he only condemned the temple prostitutes, the male prostitutes outside the temples, but he condemned Sodom and Gomorrah from the sin of sodomy. These people wanted, it said, to know the angels. And it wasn't talking about sit down with a cup of coffee and see where they were from and find out what their name was. It was talking in the homosexual sense.
Used to like to use the scout oath and the scout law, in a Christ-centered direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we found it very good for building good things into the boys and morals and good directions for boys' developments.
Well, and certainly in our day and age, we need all the good, positive role models that we can get for young men. Personally, I was never in the Scouts, myself personally. I'm, in that sense, I don't
well,
have
they had a Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Mm-hmm. Good goals. And
you could have a lot of good teachings around all those.
And like I said, we need good, positive role models for young men in this country.
Well, there's a couple other excellent organizations, the Christian Service Brigade and the Royal Rangers.
Yeah.
Are two very excellent directions that could be gone in.
Right. And I do think that a lot of churches and Christian organizations are probably going to step up to the plate and you know, get some other organizations going.
Yeah, I would say we should.
Scouts.
Yeah, for sure.
I see that happening. And if our church sponsored a scout group, we would be dropping the charter and we would be investigating something else ourselves. Yeah. If we were in that situation. But you're absolutely right, Ken. Appreciate the call.
Okay, Godspeed, brother.
Thank you very much. God bless. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our number. And we have, I believe it's Arthur, on the line next. And welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
How are
welcome.
You this evening?
Good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. Basically, what I have for you is a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's chapter and verse. I've been trying to find it, and I have been unable to locate it because I can't remember where I saw it last. But going back to what you were speaking about with Romans chapter 1, verse 24 mm-hmm. through, basically all the way to the end of to chapter or to chapter 2.
Right.
While that gives a real good description of today's society, I don't know what else would. What I'm looking for is a more direct version that I know I read in the KJV that said that a man shall not lay with a man. It would be considered an abomination unto the Lord. And it said basically the same thing about a woman. That's the verse and chapter I'm looking for, but you'll only find that in the King James Version. I don't think you'll find that in any of the modern Bibles, because it was probably too inconvenient for them.
Well, and they take some of those things out, and that's one of the reasons I only use the King James, because it preserves the Word of God in the English language for us
Absolutely.
Today. And I'd mentioned about Sodom and Gomorrah with the previous caller, and one of the things, there's a version there that says that the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is because they weren't hospitable to the angels. But the one verse that you're looking at, I believe, is, let's see here, Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter 20, and verse 13, it says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. And so that's
a
pretty clear statement right there in Leviticus under the law.
Leviticus chapter 20.
Yeah, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 13 there. And let's see if I can see what that is in another passage or another Bible as well. Here's another one, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And let's see if I can find us.
The one I was...
Just a moment here. Let's see, Leviticus. Let's go back to Leviticus 20 and verse 13 here again for just a moment. I was looking to try to find another, see if I could see evidence of another version. I don't see anything right away dealing with that it'd be germane to the issue. But the idea here, there's Leviticus 20, verse 13, says it's an abomination. There's Leviticus 18, verse 22, that says it's an abomination. It's abomination. Let's see, there's... Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, that says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Let's see. That's probably basically the ones that we're looking at, I think, right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are, you know, other passages obviously dealing with the situation or with the issue, but you were asking specifically one dealing with it, mentioning it as abomination, and
yes.
we certainly have that there. This is God's view of it. It's an abomination because if you think about it, and let me draw a parallel here, and I've mentioned this before. Most people listening have seen same-sex couples. You know, whether you agree with it or not, you know, in the world that we're in, generally speaking, most people have probably seen same-sex couples.
I see it quite a bit. I live in Lakewood, Ohio, which is
Lakewood, you don't have to see much more.
Yeah.
But now think about this for just a moment. If a man is only attracted to men, and here's a question for people to think about, and I'm not going to answer the question so much as make people think about this, especially in light of the fact that God says it's abomination. Why is it that in many same-sex relationships where there's two men involved that supposedly don't like women, they only like men, one man is masculine and the other one is effeminate?
Exactly. And the same thing in the women relationship.
Exactly. In the women, one is masculine, one is feminine.
Yeah.
If the two men did not like women, both of them would be as masculine as possible. If the two women did not like men, both of them would be as feminine as possible. To me, that points to the fact that the devil is using this to make a mockery of what God created with Adam and Eve, where he created Adam and Eve. As I say, he created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or Madam and Eve. You know, he created Adam, the man. And then out of his side took the rib, and he formed the woman and brought her to him.
Woman from
and they
Adam's
became
rib.
The first man and woman, the first husband and wife. And that's the plan that God put in place. Now, fornication, sexual activity outside of marriage, mocks the institution of marriage. Adultery between heterosexuals mocks, you know, the sexual activity between a married person and somebody that he or she's not married to, that, again, attacks the institution of marriage. And the homosexual same-sex relationship with the effeminate man and the masculine man, or with the effeminate woman or the feminine woman and the masculine woman, that is a mockery of the marriage of a man and a woman. And
yes, it is.
That's why God calls it abomination. Mm-hmm. These are abominations. And
yes,
in fact,
are.
In Leviticus 18, verse 27, he says, "For all these abominations have the men of the land, or have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled." And he said that they should not do it, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. And so it's an abomination, and it's very clear. Whether you feel born that way or not, I'm sorry, the Bible says it's abominable. It's abomination, and God condemns it, and it's sin. And as our previous caller was talking, it's just one of many sinful behaviors that we see. And I think the push for same-sex marriage is not only to soothe their conscience, but it's also a demonic attack to rub our face into it, to attack the Word of God, and to hurt God.
I agree. I get a lot of living in Lakewood. I get a lot of dirty looks when I come up with a very simple saying. I'll ask them, you know, or basically just make a statement. It didn't seem to work out very well for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why would you think it would work out now?
Good point. Well, I'm going to have to let you go. We're out of time here, and we had Ron calling back in. I don't know that we have time to get to Ron We just got about, 30 seconds left, I think. And I have to ask Ron to give us a call back next week. We can continue on this conversation a little bit. But I do want to thank our callers tonight, and thank you to our listeners tonight. I'm glad that you were listening. This is a conversation that can be difficult. And we need to preach the truth in love, not attack people. But Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We need to speak the truth in love. God's word is truth. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220, The Word, or Salem Communications.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town.